All of God's thoughts and purposes are centered in His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. His purposes for you, my listening friend, for the world, for Israel, and for the church, for heaven and for earth, all revolve around the Christ of God. Directly in opposition to this scriptural fact, man's thoughts and purposes center around his own endeavors, and they are all apart from Christ. Certain leaders of the nations of the world take initiatives to negotiate for peace. Peace conferences are desired and arranged for. Diplomatic ploys are tried. Hopes are raised at one moment and dashed at another. Certainly, the desire of most peoples of the earth is that there should be no more war. Now, it is true that the time of peace is coming, for the Bible speaks of it as a genuine prospect for this earth. However, this time of peace is not going to be brought about by man's endeavors, his negotiations, nor by conferences. It is true that the Bible declares that after the coming of Christ to the heir for his own, there will be a measure of success in these negotiations and treaties, but it will be totally without dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He will have been written off, as it were, as one not to be even considered. Blatant unbelief will instead be forced to own and bow to the man of sin, the Antichrist, and his co-partner, the political head of the revived Roman Empire of the Western world, who is the beast out of the sea of Revelation 13, who will bear the number of 666. The covenant that they will make will be the basis for them and the world to say, peace, peace. But alas, the Bible reveals that such peace will be short-lived. It'll be on a basis of nothing but sinking sand. We read, when men say peace and safety, then come a sudden destruction upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. You see, men shall not, in the 7-year period of tribulation, as they do not today, base their hopes for peace upon God's man, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom alone all God's thoughts and purposes are centered. To reject him, to neglect him, to ignore him then, whether it be the individual, you, my listening friend, or the nations of the world, the Israelis or the Gentiles. To reject him, I say, is to ensure certain war, disaster, suffering and death, and after death, the judgment. So then, where is peace to be found, do you ask? Let us seek to answer this question from the Word of God. In Romans 15, where we read of our God, the Creator of all things, and the Redeemer of lost, sinful mankind, He is the God of patience and comfort, verse 5, the God of hope, verse 13, and the God of peace, verse 33. He Himself is the only source of these blessings needed by man. In Him alone is there comfort, hope, and peace for men, for you, and for the nations of the world. In the oldest book of the Bible, Job chapter 22 and verse 21, we read these inspired words that Eliphaz spoke concerning our God, and I quote, "Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee." Let me read that again. "Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee." Peace is thus assured through acquaintance with the true God. And who is the true God? Let the Bible answer. In the first letter of John chapter 5 and verse 20, we read this divine revelation, and I quote, And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Let me read that again. And as I do, let me ask that you ask yourself the question, do I know him? Do I have the understanding that knowing him brings me into the possession of eternal life and peace? Here again is the verse, and I quote it, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The end of quote. Jesus Christ, dear friend, is the true God. He is the eternal life. Apart from him, there is no knowledge of God. Apart from him, there is no eternal life. Apart from him, there is no peace. In John 16:33, listen to what Jesus speaks as he was revealing the Father's purposes for his own. Through the marvelous last words of Jesus to his disciples recorded in chapters 13 through 16, we can perceive and understand the eternal purpose of God concerning the believers, his own, and they are all centered in his beloved Son. Jesus says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Notice that again. In me ye might have peace. He, the Lord Jesus, is the exclusive source of peace. And he goes on to say, in the world ye shall have tribulation. The world that's wrecked by sin, filled with man's thoughts and plans without Christ. A world whose God and prince is Satan himself. A world that has no room for Christ. Tribulation is found in this world, no matter what part of the world it is, whether political, social, religious, poor, or affluent, a world without Christ as its center and object is a world of tribulation, a world of sorrow, a world of no peace. In depicting this world of mankind away from God in Romans 3:17, we read, the way of peace have they not known. Now, why is this? Because they know not Christ, the Son of God, whom to know is life eternal. The prophet Isaiah writes the words of God, which reveal our God as the one who desires peace for his creature man. Concerning those who truly desire peace and turn to him in repentance for it, he says in Isaiah 58:15, and I quote, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Mark that, my friend. You have to do with this holy, majestic God. He says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will hear him. Oh, what grace on the part of the holy, lofty God to condescend to dwell with them who in repentance turn to him in faith. But such is the case, and praise his name for his grace. Now the healing that he speaks of here is the healing of the wounded soul of sinful man. Does my listener know this healing and possess this peace? But to go on, God says, but the wicked, that is all unbelievers, are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And why is this? Because there is no knowledge on their part of the true God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who says, in me ye shall have peace. Oh, he desires to speak peace to you. The still small voice of his word can bring this peace which you need and I trust long for. I would like to consider now what he has done to bring about this eternal peace which he offers to all men now, and which is the basis for the peace that shall be brought to this earth, to Israel, and to all nations of the world in a soon coming day. That a work was necessary, the prophet Isaiah declares in his book, chapter 32 and verse 17, and I quote, "The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." What is the work of righteousness? As we turn to the New Testament, we shall find out that it involved the suffering and death of the Son of God, the one in whom all God's thoughts and purposes are centered. Why the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus? The reason was that sin could be put away only by the atoning sacrifice of Christ, the Lamb of God. Sin had caused man's alienation from God. Sin had separated man from God and brought death upon all men, in that all have sinned. Sin is inbred in the natural heart of man, and from the heart proceed the evil thoughts and the murders and the blasphemies, says Jesus in Matthew 15:19. And in James 4:1, the question is asked, "From whence come wars and fightings among you?" And the answer is given, "Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members?" James also tells us in chapter 1:15, "Lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So you see, when sin is in question, peace is totally out of question. But, beloved friend, God sent his own Son that by one sin offering, that is, his death on the cross, he condemned sin in the flesh. And in Colossians 1:20, we read that Jesus made peace by the blood of his cross. This is the work of righteousness. Jesus accomplished that work and brought peace, and quietness, and assurance forever to all who would receive him. Peace with God has been made for man then by the sacrifice of Christ's life and the shedding of his blood on the cross of Calvary. God has accepted that atoning sacrifice. And he has showed his acceptance by raising Jesus from among the dead the third day according to the Scriptures. And he has exalted him to his own right hand in the glory, where the man Christ Jesus now lives, and from whence he proclaims peace all to all through his infallible, inspired word, the Bible. As we sometimes sing, "Now from the glory he waits to impart peace to the conscience and joy to the heart, waits to be gracious, to pardon and heal all who their sin and their wretchedness feel." Christ, then, is the one who has righteously dealt with the question of sin. He has righteously satisfied the holy demands of the law that the sinner had broken, and satisfied the holy character of a sin-hating God who was offended by sin. Yes, friend, Christ died for the sinner and paid the penalty. He shed his blood to make atonement, to appease and glorify a holy God, and to make a covering and cleansing for the sinner man, for you, my dear friend. This work is done. Peace has been made. You could never make your peace with God, but what you could never do, God has done through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot be a peacemaker then, but you can be and must be a peace taker if peace is to be yours. It is the same principle for this world of unrest and war and distress. Only when the nations of the world are brought to repentance of their sin and turn from their own efforts at peacemaking to Christ, only then, I say, will peace come to the Israelis and all the Gentile nations. Alas, as long as Christ is not the center of man's thoughts, there will be wars and rumors of wars. But when through God's intervention, when his judgments are in the earth, then we read in Isaiah 26:9, then shall the inhabitants thereof learn righteousness. In regards to Israel, the nation consisting of the two of the 12 tribes are now back in their land in unbelief and in rejection of Jesus as their Messiah. They, along with the 10 tribes that are still scattered throughout the world, must go through great tribulation, 7-year period, to bring them to repentance. Then at Christ's appearing at the end of the 7-year period of tribulation, following his coming for his saints, he will gather the remnant of Israel from the four corners of the earth around himself in the Mount of Olives. The prophet Zechariah tells us of that day in chapter 12 and verse 10, and I quote, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son. End of quote. Israel must be and will be brought face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they rejected nearly 2,000 years ago. They will turn from all others and from every human effort and then accept him as their Redeemer, Messiah, and King. And so will the converted Gentiles find peace. They will accept him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whom they will own as their Redeemer and Savior from their sin. And then, my dear friend, peace will come. We are told in Micah 4:3, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Read that marvelous prophecy, which will soon be fulfilled. But mind you, it will come about only through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you too, my dear friend, can find peace only in the same Savior God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He made peace by his blood shed on Calvary. He preaches peace now through his inspired word. He bestows peace upon all who receive him into their hearts and life. He was delivered up to make peace on the cross. He was raised from the dead for our justification. Justification is what we must have. As guilty ones, we must be cleared from guilt in order to be at peace with the Holy God. But justification is ours. It is yours. As we read in Romans 5:1, on the basis of faith, and I quote, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is simply taking God at his word. It is personally putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who made peace for you on Calvary. It is the receiving him into your life as your peacemaker and giver. He is the center of God's thoughts and purposes, my friend, for peace. And that peace will be yours the moment that you make him the center of your thought, that you confess to him your guilt, and thankfully by faith receive him as your personal Savior. Oh, I urge, in the words of God again, from Job 22:21, acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. May God bless his word.